Happy New Year. I'm glad you're here today. It's been quite a week, and it's been interesting, but we're back in the house of God this morning. I'm glad to see each and every one of you. I just want to give a little bit of a report. Most of you probably know, maybe know more about it than I do, but we've been praying for Brother Gary for some time now. He's had his transfusion, and things are going well so far. Continue to pray that God will continue to keep His hand upon him and just keep him safe and healthy. Pray for that family. Praying for Mary and Diana and Johnny and Eddie and that whole family as they said goodbye for now to a loved one. It's tough. And as I said this morning, the Lord does heal us from that. I don't know if we ever forget, or we should, but the Lord does heal. Time does not heal all wounds, Jesus does. That's the truth of the matter. Turn in your Bibles, if you would. So glad that you're here today. If you would, turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. I want to begin verse 18. Now, before I read this, as we stand on the threshold of another new year, I want to remind you of some things that you already know, and that is, the Word of God is God-breathed. In other words, the Scripture that we have before us was spoken through the Spirit of God to men who had their spiritual sails up and were moved along by the Spirit of God as His Spirit moved them. We believe that it has been preserved, and we have God's Word before us. The Lord Jesus is the last word to humanity, but we have it recorded in this book. We believe the Old Testament is our schoolmaster or our teacher that prepares us and helps us to understand the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says it is our schoolmaster that brings us to Jesus. Now, many times we can look at the Word of God and we can see promises in the Word of God and we can take them literally because they were directed at us as His people. Now, there are certain promises that God directed at individuals like Abraham. I remember growing up in church, we used to sing a song, something like, "Every promise of Abraham is mine." But that's not true. The promises that God made specifically to Abraham were His. But there are times in Scripture where promises were given to individuals and they have a duality about them that it is also a promise that we can apprehend or lay hold of because of the Word of God is directed at not only them but at us. Now, that sounds a little bit confusing, but it really isn't. And today, I want you to understand that we have a case like that. Isaiah was speaking directly to a group of people who were in a place they didn't want to be. Anybody know what that's like? Being in a place you don't want to be, being in a circumstance you don't want to be, being in a situation that you know, whether you got yourself into it or whether you're just a victim of circumstance, here you are and you don't want to be there. Well, that's the way these people were. And Isaiah is dealing with this through God, through the Spirit of God. And I want you to know that there are some things tucked away in here that you and I can claim as we stand on the threshold of another new year. Now, Isaiah chapter 43 is a powerful passage of Scripture. You ought to read the whole passage. You ought to read the whole chapter. Maybe you ought to do it tonight while you're waiting for the ball to fall or whatever it is. I want you to know I'll be in bed by 9 o'clock tonight. So don't call me and say, "Happy New Year, Pastor." The Bible says Jesus never sleeps nor slumbers. You know, God never takes a nap. And since He's staying up, I'm going to bed. Okay? I'm not going to worry about it. He'll usher it in. He'll get me up if He wants me to wake up. That's just the way I feel. I say, "You're boring." "Yeah, I am." "You have no idea." Isaiah 43, verse 18 following, the Bible says this: "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth." In other words, it's going to happen when you didn't expect it. It's going to come out of nowhere. God does things that way. God works that way. We wait, and sometimes we feel like, you know, the wheels of God's justice are turning slowly. But all of a sudden, God steps in and does something that we didn't see happen or we couldn't predict. He says, "Now it will spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me." In other words, they'll know. My creation will know. "The jackals and the ostriches, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. to give drink to my people, my chosen, this people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are a good God, and we love you today. We thank you for the word that is before us. We pray that it would be blessed as it goes forth, Lord Jesus, and not return void, but accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. Father, surround us today with your presence. Give us insight and knowledge and wisdom as we go forward into another new year. Keep us where you want us to be, God, and we'll be sure to praise you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm excited to share the Word of God with you today. I guess I'm always excited. I have a measure of passion about God's Word, and there are times when it's easy, and there's times when it's not. And I have determined that I'm going to preach the Word of God, whether it's what I want to preach, or whether it's something that you would just sue me not preach, I'm going to preach it anyway. And God has always honored that, and I'm very grateful to Him for that. And today I'm excited to share God's Word with you. I've been talking to God a lot about you, about me, about the challenges that we face, about the confusing times that we're living in. And I'm reminded as I pray that we serve an invincible God. Praise His holy name. But we're living in uncertain times. And my prayers lately have been consumed with this idea of bringing those two truths together, the invincibility of God and the uncertain times in which we live, to try to help us navigate through the stuff of life. I've been seeking guidance and wisdom from the Spirit of God about how we should be conducting our lives in these days in which we live. And as I think back over the events of this past year, some were good, some were bad, and some were just absolutely heartbreaking. And I think that maybe some of us, or maybe many of us here today, find ourselves looking toward another new year and wondering if this next year is going to be any better than the last. We find ourselves hoping for a better day and a change of situation, a change of circumstance, an improvement in my lot, in life. I'm hoping, I'll hope for that. We find ourselves asking, will the pain of the voids that have been left from the loss of 2023 ease in the new year? In fact, I was asked last week, Pastor, does it ever get any easier? Well, I don't know that it does. I just said this morning, I think that the waves of sorrow that we feel from the loss will still come. But praise God, through His healing power, those waves get further and further apart. Yeah. And some of you are feeling the waves one right after another right now. Some of you had a hard time coming to church because of the memories and the things that have happened. And it's just so hard for us. And we look back over the last year and we think about all that we've lost. And will that ever feel better? Because in many ways, in my mind, as I was sitting at my desk thinking about this, the picture came to my mind of the sailors who were trapped during the attack on Pearl Harbor. There's images that are still in my mind about how the rescue teams were working feverishly to get these men out of that battleship, but it wasn't going to happen. There really wasn't any hope. And they were trapped in those compartments, and they were filling up with water, and they were running out of oxygen. And I don't know about you, but there were times in 2023 where I felt like I was running out of oxygen. Like I just couldn't breathe. When you look at the world that we live in, that we're forced to live in now, to survive in, to navigate, even if your own personal circumstance here today is not that bad or maybe even good, you still find yourself asking, well, are things going to be better next year? In our political discord, in our lack of civility, in our crazy economy, in our redefinition of humanity, will things ever get better? Or are they going to continually to gradually get worse? That's the question that many of us find ourselves asking. Will things get better? Will it get better for my family? Will it get better for my friends? Will it get better for the people that I love? Will it get better? Will the environment that I find myself in ever improve? Many people today are hoping that when the clock strikes midnight tonight, that when they wake up in the morning, the clouds will all part and they'll wake up to a new unclouded day. But in reality, we know, we're a little doubtful. That was the situation the prophet Isaiah had to address as he spoke to God's people who found themselves captives in Babylon. Now listen, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, let me back up and say, yes, you've been set free by Jesus. Hallelujah. Set free. I am free. I have a hope. I have a hope beyond the grave. I have a hope beyond this life. I also have hope for power in this life. But you need to also know, and listen very carefully, if you are a follower in Jesus Christ living on planet Earth today, you need to know that you're a captive in Babylon. You're playing for the visiting team. We have lost home field advantage. You understand what I'm saying, church? What I'm saying is the culture that we now live in is no longer accepting of the Judeo-Christian worldview. There was a time when that was the perspective of most people that lived in this country, but that's not the way it is anymore. The way we view life, the way we view family, the way we view personal identity, the way we view marriage, the way we view resources, it's all been rejected by our culture that has abandoned Almighty God. And so, here we are, bearing the repercussions of this foreign environment in which we're now forced to live in. And Isaiah is writing to some people who find themselves in the same kind of unpleasant situation. They don't want to be there. They don't want to live like that, but they don't have an option to get out of there. And this morning, I want to call your attention to three phrases from the Word of God before we step over into another new year, and then I'll be finished. Just three phrases. Number one is this: forget the past. Forget the past. Forget the past? Yeah, forget the past. Isaiah 43:18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Now let me explain this. Isaiah 43 is a chapter that I said earlier is worthy to be read in its entirety tonight while you're waiting for the new year. But here he says some things that I want to point out to you today to some people who are not happy with their life. He says, do not remember the former things. He says, perhaps as you look back over the events of last year or the events of the last decade, there are some unpleasant experiences. There's some regrets. There's some things that you wish weren't a part of your life. I think that's true of all of us. I, like you, this past week, got together with family and remembered those who were no longer there. And the former things, they just kind of come flooding back into your mind. The sadness, the reality, the void, it just doesn't make you feel real good. But holidays, family events like that, you know, when there's an empty spot, it just doesn't make you feel good. And I'm not implying in the least. I am not saying that we should forget our loved ones. Not at all. You did not hear me say that. I'm just saying that looking back can be a painful place to be. And God doesn't want our sorrow from yesterday to be how we identify today, because God is doing something new. The backup camera in your car, if you have a backup camera in your car, it's a great thing. Amen? It's a great thing when you're backing out of the parking stall or if you're backing out of your driveway. But the engineers who designed your car were so forthright in their thinking that they put a sensor. The minute you put that thing into drive, what happens? Camera goes away. I think it would be cool if it stayed on, but I think, you know, if you spend too much time, what I'm saying is, if you're spending too much time in your rearview mirror, you're going to hurt somebody. And that somebody may be yourself. No, the reason for them doing that is obvious. When you put that thing in drive, your destination becomes more important than where you used to be. Right. Now, can you make the spiritual connection? Your focus ought to be on the destination, not where you've been. Yes. You glance at the rearview mirror, but you focus on the windshield. Yeah. Folks, that's what God is trying to tell us today. God's people had abandoned him. They had adopted idols. They had adopted false gods. God warned them. He said, don't do that. Don't let the lifestyle and the culture of the people around you affect you. But they did anyway, just like we do. And they adopted false gods and idols. An idol, I've said this many times from this pulpit, I'm going to say it again and probably several times more before the Lord takes me home. An idol is any person, place, thing, or thought that you look to as your source. It can be anything. It can be anything. God was no longer their source. But they are still carrying on the traditions of the faith, what I find interesting. They still went to church. They still sang the songs of praise. They still kept the religious traditions. But when church was over, they went right back to the person, place, thing, or thought that had now become their source, that had now taken the place of Almighty God. And as a result of the idolatry, God's judgment put them in a place where they did not want to be. They're now captives in the land of Babylon. Now they're saying, look at where we are because of what we've done. I also want to preface what I'm about to say by saying this. Not every painful situation in your life is caused because of something you did wrong. We know that. We know we live in a vile world. I've already talked about that. Sometimes you're just along for the ride. Amen? Sometimes someone else makes a decision and, uh-oh, now I got a problem because of what somebody else does. But how many of you understand what I'm saying when I say that there are repercussions for the things we do in life? Is that a fair statement? I mean, we do things and we're like, uh-oh, now I'm in trouble. But if I wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't have this. That's what the Israelites were doing. They were saying, look, if I wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't be here today. And they were regretting this. They were having all this. And God was saying, look, I got a message for you. And maybe today it's not that hard for you to say, you know what, if I hadn't done that, then I wouldn't be dealing with this today. But it was in that unpleasant place that God said, don't remember the former things. In a vernacular, good, bad, or ugly, don't let yesterday own you. That brings me to the second phrase that I want to draw your attention to. You still tracking with me this morning? Okay, number two. Number one, forget the past. Number two, behold your God. Behold your God. Isaiah 43, verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. How many of you were here last week? Let me see your hands. Just lift them up. It's okay. I know it's a Baptist church. I don't want to lift my hand. How many of you who were here last week remember what we talked about when we talked about, remember the angel appeared to the shepherds and the angel said what?
Behold.
Not fair. You were here in first service. Behold. How many of you were here last week remember what we said about the word behold? When God, because it's the same word, it's the same text, the angels said, behold, and we said that that meant to look intensely at, to pay attention, to keep your eyes focused, because God is doing something that you don't want to miss. The same context, the same word, not the same context, but the same word, the same verbiage, the same phrase is used in this text right before us. Behold, look intensely at. Pay close attention. Don't miss it. You see, if we're focused on last year, you're easily going to miss the new thing that God is going to do this year. God said, I will do a new thing. And we don't know what it is because we haven't seen 2024 yet. We don't know what new thing God is going to do in our life, in my life personally, in your life, in the life of the church. But you better pay attention so that you don't miss it. Behold. So, am I supposed to just forget about the mess that I've made for myself? Am I supposed to just forget about the situation I'm in? No! And I'm going to tell you why. Because God says something very interesting in verse 14 of this same chapter. Let me read it to you. Verse 14. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives. For my sake? Wait a minute. What? For my sake, you're going to send me down to Babylon? You mean there's a benefit to being in Babylon? You mean that I'm in this place that I don't want to be in? Maybe it's my fault, maybe it isn't. I'm here and yet God is still producing a benefit from my pain, from my problem, from this negative season in my life? The answer is yes, because God said, for your sake I sent you to Babylon. In the New Testament, God says it this way. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. So you better pay attention. You pay attention. And if you pay attention, you're going to see God in a brand new way, because He's going to show you, He's going to use your sorrow, your sadness, your difficult situation to show you something brand new. God wants you to see your situation through brand new eyes. God wants you to see Him in a brand new way. And I know that because of the names that He gives Himself in this same chapter. In verse 14, for example, He calls Himself our Redeemer. And He also calls Himself, in verse 14, the Holy One of Israel. In verse 15, He calls Himself the Creator of Israel and our King. He goes on to say in verse 25, I am He who blots out your transgressions. He is our Redeemer. He is the Holy One. He is the Creator. He is our King. And He's the one that blots out our sins. We better behold our Lord and start looking at the benefit of being where we are. The only way you're going to make any sense out of the unpleasant situation and environment you find yourself in right now is to look intently at your God. He says, I know it hurts. I know you don't want to be where you're at right now. But I'm about to turn this thing around and do a new thing that's going to spring forth. Yeah. It's going to spring forth. You're not going to see it coming, but if you're paying attention, you're going to see it. So even if the thing that you're dealing with in your life right now is old, I want you to pay attention spiritually, seeing through spiritual eyes, because God is preparing a new thing for you. There's one more phrase that I want to draw your attention to this morning, and I'll be finished. That's this. Number three, follow God's path. Forget the past. Behold your King. Follow the path. Follow God's path. There's a lot of paths. Amen? A lot. Isaiah 43, verse 19 again. Behold, I will do a new thing. Shall it not spring forth? Is it not going to come out of nowhere? That's the way I work. I do things suddenly. It's going to spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, what we have right here, and I think we forget about this because in our minds it's not as dramatic, but what we have right here is what we call the second Exodus. The first Exodus is when the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt. Do you remember they were trapped and Moses, instructed by God, lifted up his rod and the Red Sea parted and they walked across on dry ground? Well, that's pretty dramatic. That was the first Exodus. They come out by the blood of the Lamb. They put the blood on the doorpost and they actually carried away the wealth of Egypt. And it was pretty dramatic. Well, this is the second Exodus, and it's kind of the sequel of the first. And it doesn't seem as dramatic on the surface, but let me ask you, because you're all intelligent thinking people, isn't it pretty incredible that God can make rivers in the desert that will refresh God's people as they're going through the Judean desert to the promised land? It's pretty miraculous. It's the second Exodus. And the Israelites there in Babylon, they didn't know what was going to happen. But what God was about to do was going to spring forth. And what was going to spring forth was God was going to send Cyrus of Persia down with his army and defeat the Babylonian Empire. There was no warning. There was no intel about it. Cyrus just loaded up his troops and said, let's go get her done. Because he was acting as a vessel of God. I don't know if Cyrus was any better than Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know. He might have been just as wicked. But see, God can use wicked people to carry out his plan. And Cyrus comes down. He defeats the Babylonians. And now Cyrus is going to release the Jews to go back home. And with the leadership of Nehemiah and Ezra and good King Zerubbabel, good King Zeb, They went back and they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. They rebuilt the temple. And this was all made possible because God let something new spring forth. But in order for the captives to get back home, they had to travel through this thing called the Judean Desert. The Judean Desert is just that. It's a dry and an inhospitable wilderness. And God said, you don't see it yet, but behold, I'm going to cut a road through the wilderness. I'm going to give you rivers of water in the desert to refresh you, and it's all going to pop up out of nowhere. Now, I'm not going to remove the desert for you. I'm going to make a straight path through it. God says, you can't see it, but when it springs up, you'll know it. And you'll know that I'm taking you from where you are now to where you want to be. I want you to pay attention. I don't want you to miss it. I want you to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. I don't want you to miss God's path because you're walking on another path. Follow God's path. Oh, this world has a lot of paths for us to get lost on. Amen? This world is a desert. This world is a dry and a thirsty place. But God has a path for us to follow with rivers to refresh us along the way. God said the animals won't miss it. I don't know. Are you a little insulted by that? Verse 20, the first part of verse 20, he says, the beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. Ostriches? Yeah. Because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hey, folks, don't let the animals see God at work and you and I miss it. Amen? Because we have something else drawing our attention away from Father God. Are you watching for what your Redeemer is doing? Now, who is God doing this new thing for? Well, we don't have to guess. The Bible goes on to say, to give drink to my people, my chosen. My chosen. Now, again, in this text, his chosen is a reference to the Israelites. But you remember, when Jesus died on the cross, we were given the opportunity to be adopted into the family of God. We have been grafted in. Through the spirit of adoption, we cry, Abba, Father, which is an intimate way of saying, hey, Dad. You say, you're going to talk to God that way? Well, if he's my father, I feel that way. And sometimes we get the idea that we got to pray in King James English, you know. You got to recite it in just a certain way. You know, or we got, you know, but hey, I never talked to my dad that way because he loved me. I loved him. I spoke to him because we have a relationship. Now, don't get me wrong. We are to show reverence to God because he can cast your soul into hell. But if he's your father, things are different. Amen. So, yeah, I mean, we need to understand that God is at work. Who's God doing this new thing for? To his chosen people. Now listen, church, God's not focusing on fixing the problem in the White House in 2024. God's focusing on fixing the problem in the church house. I'll tell you something else. This thing that God is about to do isn't just for us. Who else is it for, Pastor? Well, let's keep reading in verse 21. This people I have formed for myself, here we go, they shall declare my praise. God formed us, God created us to be his people, to give him praise. But we, his people, have become so secularized, we have become so rebellious, we have become so self-centered, we have become so stiff-necked that we don't think we need God anymore. And as a result, the environment around us has sucked us in. And now we know, don't we? Now we know we need a Redeemer. Now we know we need the Creator. Now we know we need the King. Well, we're learning now, ain't we? We're learning now. We need God to blot away our sin. We see it, don't we? And now that God has our undivided attention, just like he had the undivided attention of the captives in Babylon, he's going to make a way in the desert for us, and he's going to send rivers of waters along the way. And when he does, he's going to get from us what he should have gotten a long time ago. And folks, we're going to declare his praise. Yes. I'm asking God for a fresh spirit of praise for us in 2024. Amen. Listen, you don't have to wait for the conditions to be right. You say, well, if things get right for me, I'm going to praise God. Oh, you don't have to wait. You can praise God right now where you're at, in the situation you're in. You can send up praise to your Redeemer because the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. If God promises that it is as good as done, you can trust, you can, as they say, take it to the bank. In fact, the path through the desert that we're talking about, as far as we're concerned, has already been cut. It is called the way of the cross. And I know this world is a dark, distracting place. And I know that there are as many deserts in our lives as there are people in this room right now. But if you take your eyes off of where you are now, you'll be able to see what God has in store for you tomorrow. If you're not on the altar as a living sacrifice, if you're not beholding your King, your Creator, your Redeemer, the one who blots out our sin, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. If you aren't praising Him and giving Him the glory that is due His name now, then you're going to miss the power of God at work in your life in 2024. Church, hear me. I'm almost done. Let's not let the animal kingdom outpraise the people of God. Let's not be outdone by jackals and ostriches. Amen? Let's not let it happen. God's going to get some praise. In fact, I believe Jesus said in the New Testament, if these be silent, the rocks cry out. I don't want to be outdone by a rock when it comes to giving God my glory. In fact, folks, when we talk about rocks, Jesus said, I am the rock of your salvation. Amen? Praise His holy name. I know 2023 was hard for a lot of people in this church. And a lot of the things that happen don't get a lot of publicity, but I want you to know I don't forget to pray for you. I don't know how to not personalize the pain you're in as I carry it to God. But this Christmas season was especially hard for a lot of people. I know that. There's several families, many, many families in this church who for them Christmas looked different this year. I know what that's like, and I know how to pray, but I also know that God can carry us through the waters and the fire. He can make a way through the Judean desert. And listen, He'll make a way for you too. You'll never forget those loved ones, but listen, the pain, the void, it'll be a non-issue someday because Jesus gives healing. I'm looking forward to next year. I don't know why, because every year I get a little older. Funny how that works. But I know that God is a good God. God has our best interests in mind. Amen. And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus and the full and free pardon of sin, I just want to say this. This wasn't meant to be an evangelistic message because I believe, you know, for the most part, everybody here is Christians. I don't know that. Some of you are good at fooling me, you know. But listen, I think I wouldn't be true to my calling if I didn't tell you that Jesus Christ tasted death for you. Listen, all this stuff that I said is academic if you're not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for your eternal soul. He died on the cross. He took your place. That's what Christmas was all about. He came so that you would not have to suffer separation from God for all eternity. And He says, whosoever will may come. So if you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you come to the one who blots out our sins, you know what He says? Don't look at the former things. Look at what I'm doing in your life now. Those things will take care of themselves. Those things, they're there. They got a benefit. You don't like it. There's a benefit. I'm going to do a new thing in your life. Maybe that new thing that's going to happen in your life is God's going to breathe a fresh wind of revival. Wouldn't that be sweet? Yes. If God would revive His church, heal His people, and then come and take us all home. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Before we have to say goodbye to one more family member. Yes. There was a time I'd hear preachers talk like that and it scared me to death. You know why? I wasn't where I ought to be. But when you get a little older and you see, you know, your kids growing up and you see your grandkids and you see the injustice in this world, you're like, okay, now come, Lord Jesus. Get us out of this mess. I'm ready for it to spring forth. Amen? I am. I am. But if not, 2024, we're going to put it in the Lord's hands. Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray for you. If you're here and you have a prayer need, I want you to know this altar's open. I don't know what your needs are. I do know that there's a lot of hurt that we can roll over onto Jesus. But let's just look to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, We are grateful, Lord, that we have the promise of the assurance of your presence. And Father, we know that we can trust you with our future. And we know, dear God, your word is true. Every jot, every smallest pen stroke is inspired by the Spirit of God. And so, Lord, today we have heard your word. Lord, I think we have understood it. Lord, help us to appropriate it into our lives. Father, again, I want to thank you for each person that is here today. They're precious. Heavenly Father, they're yours. And Father, help us to stay on the right path. Help us to behold our God. And help us not to focus on the failures, the mistakes, or the shortcomings, but dear God, look to what you're going to do in our lives tomorrow. Help us to live, I guess what I'm saying, Lord, and you know my heart, but as I try to put it into words, Lord, help us, God, to live in expectation of what you're going to do with us. Help us to understand, dear God, that we are the apple of your eye. Help us to understand and embrace the fact, dear God, that you have said you have written our names in the palm of your hand. Help us not to forget, Lord Jesus, that you have plans for us. Not of bad, but of good. Help us to live each day holding on to the truth of your word and recognizing how holy and how faithful you are. Now, God, specifically, I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you in the full and free pardon of sin, there's someone here today that needs, Lord Jesus, a fresh wind of your Spirit to blow through their life. Life for them has become dull. Lord, they've lost their zeal. They've lost their zest for life because they've taken their eyes off of you. Help them today to behold you, to look intently at you. And Father, we just pray that your Spirit would be done. And we love you, Lord. And we ask all this in your precious name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.